Lesson. We're going through the Gospel of John, starting in chapter 10, and I'll read verse 1 through 21st. Let's hear the inspired word of the living God. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the sheepfold, by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all of his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and he will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd and does not own the sheep sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I might take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own, by my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father." There was again a division among the Jews because of these words. Many of them said, "He has a demon and is insane. Why listen to him?" Others said, "These are not the words of one who is oppressed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" May God add his blessing to the hearing of this portion of his word. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that we would feast upon your word, that you would apply it to our lives, that you would spur our minds and our hearts and draw us into a deeper relationship with you. In Jesus' name, amen. I said when we started this series, that John, unlike the other gospel writers, works with a limited number of things that happened, but they were specifically selected. And there are seven I ams in this in the whole book of John. And they point back to I am that I am, the name of God. And when Jesus invoked it with himself, he was demonstrating that he is God. And the Apostle John brings that out in his writings. And we are coming through the I ams. We've dealt with two to begin with. I am the bread of life, and I am the light of the world. Today, we get a twofer. We get two I ams in one picture, and we get two messages in one picture. I am the door, and I am the good shepherd. And then, just so you know where the last three are, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, truth, and life. And I am the true vine. And each one of these looks at a different vantage point of Jesus, the great I am, the one who is God from all eternity past. And we find that in these different I ams, John is drawing on breadcrumbs that have been running through the scripture. We Presbyterians like systematic theology. That's putting all of God's truth in nice little categories, you know, where we can look it up, and we put all things that say the same thing in little boxes. But there is another kind of theology called biblical theology, and that's where you trace themes all the way through Scripture that point to God's truth. And we see, depending on how your mind is organized, one of those or the other will communicate with you. But we see that Jesus being the bread of life was nothing new. That is a thread that ran all the way through Scripture. There was the manna from heaven. There was the showbread in the temple. The bread that Melchizedek served to Abraham. There were the bread that flows all the way through, the bread of life, and points to Jesus, who is the true bread of life. He's the one every one of us needs to feast upon. Whether we go out and eat food or not, he is the true bread. He's the one that satisfies us. He's the one we daily need. And then he is the light of the world, and we see that isn't anything new either. We can trace that all the way through. In the beginning, was the darkness was on the face of the deep, and God said, "Let there be light." Literally, he said, "Light be." Two words. he can do that. The light of the world, there was the menorah in the tabernacle. There was the pillar of light in the wilderness. There was the light that shone down when Jesus was born, the light of the world, but it all points to him because he is the light of the world. You can be, your eyes don't need to be working to see the light, because Jesus is the light that speaks to us from within. He enlightens us, and so that's another window we just covered. Today we're going to look at two other aspects of him, the door and the good shepherd. The door of the sheepfold, and Jesus says he is that door, and the good shepherd, and Jesus says he is also the good shepherd. Now, shepherd doesn't just start from scratch here either. If you go back, the very first two children, Cain and Abel. Cain did what? He was a tiller of the ground, but guess what Abel was? He was a shepherd. And he was one who was killed by his brother, and his blood spilled out on the ground. And that is a picture of the good shepherd who would lay down his life for his sheep. And then Abraham was called to leave a country and go to a place he would show him. And God took Abraham up on a high mountain, but Abraham was also a shepherd. That's what he did. And then we see that Jacob, the twins, Jacob and Esau. And God said, "Jacob did I love, but Esau have I hated," before they were even born. But what did Esau do? He was a hunter. What did Jacob do? He was a shepherd. He started out being a swindler, but then God put him in a different place, And he spent a long time learning to be a shepherd, working for somebody else, working for Laban. And he got good at that, and he became a shepherd. And that was where God spoke to him, and God really got a hold of his life. And he was the father of the 12 tribes, the shepherd. And then we see that Moses, after the 12 tribes went down to Egypt, there came a time to lead them out of slavery. And God raised up Moses and had him born in a palace. But before he used him, he called him out of the palace and put him in the wilderness for 40 years doing what? He was a shepherd. He was keeping flocks for his father-in-law father-in-law Jethro. And then, moving a little bit further down, we get to the king of Israel. The king of Israel, they wanted a king, and they got their king, and then God gave him the king that he always planned. But it was from the seed of Jesse. And we see that Jesse had sons. He had seven sons. Actually, he had one more than seven. Because they called out all of the seven to decide which one was the king. But there was this other one that they kept out of sight, because he was the shepherd. So he became the shepherd king. And that's also a picture of Jesus. And then the prophets spoke. Ezekiel in chapter 34 said, verse 11, he says, "For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search out for my sheep, and I will seek them out, as a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that have been scattered. So I will seek out my sheep, and I will rescue them from all places where they've been scattered, on a day of clouds and thick darkness. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries. And I will bring them into their own land, and I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, by the ravines, and in all the inhabited places of the country." So God was dropping breadcrumbs through the history of his people all the way through, but it was pointing to the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd. There is only one. It is not the Good Shepherds. It is the Good Shepherd. So let's dig in. John 10, starting the first verse. "Truly, truly," or in the original, "amen, amen, 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 I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in any other way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens." When the word amen or truly is used twice, that is emphasis. And when Jesus, who is God, is using it twice, that means we really need to sit up and pay attention. And he says, "He who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber." The first thing he is showing us is the door. Jesus comes through the door, and Jesus is the door. "The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out." When people who, some of y'all raise sheep, and I have a friend who has some sheep that he gives names, but other sheep he gives the name Food. Because his plan down the road is not to get too attached to him, because that's going to be dinner someday. But there is pet names for sheep. And Jesus, the Good Shepherd, has pet names for his sheep. He calls his sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them. Not every sheep is owned by Jesus, but he leads his own sheep. That means they belong to him. They have been purchased by his blood. We, if we have been redeemed, if we are trusting in Christ, we belong to him. He bought us with a price. He paid for us. We don't have our own agenda. We have his agenda. We focus in. He is able to do whatever he wants to do. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. The stranger they will not follow, but they flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. We live in a time of competing voices. You tune in, you don't know what to believe anymore. You'll see this one says this thing and this one says this thing. And there are many, many religious voices that will say, this is what we ought to do. But Jesus speaks with one voice. And what we need to do is listen for his voice, because he doesn't shout. He gives us a still small voice, but the ones that belong to him hear his voice. The stranger will not follow. The ancient custom was, when it's talking about a sheepfold here, they didn't have fences around them. It was just a place that you would put your sheep for the night. Maybe there were some barriers, but there was a doorkeeper. The doorkeeper and the shepherd are not the same person. The doorkeeper is the one that keeps watch of the door so that the shepherd can sleep. Everybody has to sleep sometime. Shepherds need to sleep. So they would lead their flock to the place, the resting place, the sheepfold, and the doorkeeper would watch over it, and they would go off. But you might have more than one shepherd keeping their sheep in the same place. But each one, their own sheep, knew their voice. And so in the morning when the shepherd would come, each one would lead their own sheep out, and they would follow their own shepherd's voice, and they wouldn't follow the other shepherd's voice. Jesus is saying, my sheep hear my voice, and we follow him. The figure of speech Jesus used, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. There was a time in my life I looked at the Bible as just a collection of fables, until it finally all clicked, and the Spirit of God moved on my heart, and I finally saw Christ for what he had done for me, and then I could hear his voice. And then when I read something in his word, I could relate it to something over here, because I could see that it was one big story. It wasn't a disconnected collection of fables. So Jesus said again to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen. So God is using this same picture to communicate two truths. The first one is that Jesus is the door. The second truth is Jesus is the good shepherd. If Jesus is the door, that means that is the only way God has provided to get into the sheepfold. There are many people that will come up with their own recipe for how to please God. There are all the religions of the world. You can look around and everybody has their own thoughts. But Jesus is the only one. He is the door, and he's telling you explicitly, I am the door of the sheep. If we don't come through Christ, there is no other way. He is the only way. He says, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen. And again, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. If we go through the door, he is the door. We come to God through Christ. Christ is only God's only provision for us, for our sin, and there's no other alternative. And then he says, I came that they might have life. Now, if you look through this passage, this is verse 10, I came that they might have life, but you will see Jesus later starts talking about giving up his life. There are two different words that life is translating. This very first one, I came that they might have life, is the word Zoe. If you know somebody who named their son or probably their daughter, but Zoe, that means life, but it's eternal life. It's life that goes on forever. And he says, I came that they might have eternal life and have it abundantly, overflowing, more than enough. And then he turns right around and says, the good shepherd lays down his life, but it's not the same word behind it. This life and every other word for life after that throughout this chapter is the Greek word psuche. We get the word psyche, or it means soul, or what it's what about us that makes us unique. It's how you are able to identify us. So Jesus is not laying down eternal life. He is laying down his physical life, his soul. He says, the good shepherd lays down his soul for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep. The good shepherd owns his sheep. And he says, I am the good shepherd. In the original language, it's, I am the shepherd, the good. The definite article is on both the adjective and the noun. That means there is only one good shepherd. That's it. He's not trying to show us a good example of a shepherd. He is showing us that he is the shepherd. He is the one we look to as our shepherd. He is the shepherd that takes care of us. He is the one who leads us. He is the one who corrects us. He is the one who does all of that. The good shepherd owns his sheep and sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep. The good shepherd owns his sheep. The hired hand sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and shatters them. He flees because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. When he says, I am the good shepherd, I know my own and my own know me. Now Jesus has known his own from all eternity past. This was part of his plan to come and redeem us. And he knows us. And he knows our voice and we know his voice. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And then, verse 16, I have other sheep that are not of this fold. Well, look at who he's speaking to. He's speaking to Jews. what about the Gentiles? Now, if you're a Mormon, the way you apply this is, I have other sheep not of this fold, which are Americans in North America, but that isn't, that's taking it out of context. But I believe the sense is here, because when you read right after it, I must bring them also, they will listen to my voice, so there will be one flock and one shepherd. With Christ, there is no Jew and Gentile. There is one flock, one family, one church, one people. It's all together. He is shepherding us all. And then, for this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I might take it up again. He is the one, he has been given the authority to lay it down. This is the cross. Jesus was not a victim. He wasn't the victim of bad people. This was his mission from before all time. He came with one express purpose, which was to walk in our body and bleed and die for our sin. But he says he had the authority from the Father to take his life back up again. That's what he came for. Anything other than that gets us into sentimentality. The cross is not a sentimental event. Sentimental was when we look at somebody and say, oh, that's so bad. This was not bad. This was his mission from the beginning. This was what he came to do. He was born to die and live again. And he is the one. He is the good shepherd that leads us. This charge he has received from the Father. So we have two illustrations here. He is the door. He's the only way to God. He's the only one God has provided. And he's the good shepherd. He's the one who leads us, protects us, watches over us, is always there when we need him. He is the one who looks out for us. He corrects us. He does all of that. This weekend, I went over to Huntsville to the first amateur radio convention in 2 years. And I got over there, and it's all about preparedness. And the motto is, it's there when all else fails. Only when we got there, about three or four of the vendors had already canceled and gone away because of COVID. So we said, we're there for you when all else fails, unless we're hiding in our basement with the disease. So, but Jesus is the one who will never be hiding in his basement. He is the one who is always there. He's there when you need him in all things, all manner. He is the good shepherd, who is willing to lay down his life for the sheep. And he laid his life down and he took it up again. We trust in him, and he will never let us down. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you that all of Scripture points to you, that you are the door. You're the only way we get to God. But you're also the shepherd that leads us all the way through and then walks ahead of us in life. In Jesus' name, amen.